So we are going to be in John 14, verse 1 through 14. You can put your bookmark there. But last week we were in the first part of John chapter 14. And we were reminded that each of us are going to face different troubles as we live out our lives in the world. But then Jesus came and he instructed us. And he said to us, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me also. So don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me also. And Jesus continued last week to teach us, no matter what takes place here in this earth, as we walk through this world, we have hope and we have no reason to stress, is what I talked about last week. Because God is bigger than any problem that we're ever going to face, and we know that we're going to spend eternity in heaven through faith in Jesus Christ with him. So Jesus made sure that we, the church, all understood this. And he also made sure that we could understand how that we can receive this amazing gift and promise he's given us. And he continued to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So we can have peace and know that each of us can be in the loving arms of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Now last week, we closed up the message, the lesson, with Jesus teaching us each how we can pray, to pray in his name. We also learned that he said the Son can bring glory to the Father. And that should be the purpose of our prayers, to bring glory to God. So God will then be there and answer our prayers. So three main points last week. We must trust God, even when we face all the troubles, yes, we're going to face. We don't have to stress, right? Even Christmas Eve, has anyone been stressed Christmas season? Getting everything done? Getting to church on time, preparing food? It can get stressful. Some of you got little kids. You made it. No stress, okay? That was last week's message. But God is there. He's with us. We know that Jesus is God. And also we learned how to pray again last week. Now, this week, we're going to continue. Jesus is going to continue and build on the lessons from last week in John chapter 14. But just a quick context, we know what's taking place. This is the night of the crucifixion. It's actually this, you know, just that night. We know the disciples had gathered in the upper room. Jesus had washed their feet. They had Passover meal together. During this time, Jesus was instructing and talking to the disciples, ministering to them, and telling us about the Lord's Supper, right? It says, do this. We're going to do that at our next service, by the way. You know what else happened? One of the other things that Jesus had mentioned? He told them that one of them was going to betray him. He also told them, all of them, that all of them would turn from them at one point. And even earlier in the conversation, Jesus had said that he was going to leave them and that they could not come with him. So this conversation was pretty serious. It was pretty surreal. But the evening isn't complete yet. Jesus has much more to teach us, which we're going to get into today. John chapter 14, and I've labeled this message on Christmas Eve, our gift has arrived. So Merry Christmas. Let's look at John chapter 14. Let's look at verse 15. If you love me, obey my commandments. So we're going to start right there. If you love me, obey my commandments. Now imagine being there as Jesus very solemnly is saying, I mean, you could imagine the disciples, I'm sure they're saying, yes, we love you, Jesus, and we're going to obey your commands. But we must ask, then, what are these commands that Jesus is speaking of? What are these commands that Jesus is given to him, given to us if we say that we love Jesus? And I want to turn to Matthew. I'll read it. Matthew chapter 22 will be on the screen here, verse 37. Jesus replied, you must love the Lord God with all of your heart, all your soul, and all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. We are to love God, and we are to love each other as Jesus has shown us through our Bibles and through his testimony. But we can only do this, we can only love as Jesus has loved, if each of us has placed our faith in him, to trust him, to obey him, and then only through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Many of us try, right? We try hard a lot, but only through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit that we can do this. A commentary I was looking at, it said it this way, and this was my story. It said, there are many who would say they love Jesus, but also would say, I just don't want to be told how to live my life. Jesus is clear. If we truly love Jesus, then we will obey God's commandments. And we must examine ourselves even daily, right? To ask ourselves, am I doing this as a follower of Jesus? Am I obeying his commandments that he's given us? It's not like once and done, right? This is a daily thing that we must do. We must live out our lives in a manner that is according to God's word. And, you know, we see this command in Matthew. Yes, we all see it. We've been seeing it in John 14, how Jesus is. In 1 John 4:19, he said, we're told, we love each other because he, that's Jesus, loved us first. So this love that we're talking about here, it was shown to us by Jesus, showing us an example that we can follow. So let's look at verses 16 through 17 back in John 14. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it is not looking for him and does not recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. A gift from our Father, our loving God. Jesus has promised that he will always take care of us, right? We know that. But he also says he's provided a helper that is always with us, that abides in us, a gift to each and every one of us from our Father God. Now today, we're here on Christmas Eve, December 24th, celebrating Christmas, Jesus' birth. And one way many of us celebrate is by giving gifts. I can give you my list if you want. I like that jacket. He said I can get it on Amazon. So we'll have to order that for next year, though. But as we see and we talk about blessing each other with gifts, Jesus loves us. And he has blessed us through the Father, all that have come to faith, with the Holy Spirit. It's a gift that he's given us. The Amplified Bible says it this way, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby that he may remain with you forever. So we believe in the Trinity. You can see clearly in the passages here the Trinity. Jesus Christ is praying to the Father God and asking that God would then send the Holy Spirit. So we see the Trinity here outlined in Scripture. We also see this promise of the Holy Spirit seen in the verses here. Now, I always say this, imagine yourself there, right? I haven't asked much questions this time. Imagine yourself. Imagine if Jesus was with you every single day alongside of you, walking with you. You could talk to him anytime. You could wake up in the morning, open your eyes, start your day with Jesus, right? He'd be with you. He'd be ready to help you out to start your day the way you're supposed to start your day, to help you start your day right. You know, I tell people a lot of times, I start my day just perfect. I come before the Lord in prayer, and everything's going great, and then I roll over and put my foot out of bed. But imagine here if Jesus was with you every single day. You could talk with him. You could pray with him. You could ask him how to deal with these different troubles and things that happen in your life as they come up each and every day, sometimes by the hour. You could even talk with him as these different temptations come your way, right? Jesus would be right there alongside you, speaking truth, encouraging you to walk in a way that would be pleasing to the Father. Imagine even grabbing your Bibles and reading your Bibles. And there's some passages here that you don't quite understand. It's difficult maybe. And you're looking at it and you can look over. Jesus, what does this mean? What are you trying to convey to me here in this, in your word? Wouldn't that be amazing? Imagine even Jesus with you, giving you gifts, right? Giving you blessings, giving you spiritual blessings, maybe a gift of teaching or a gift of healing. Imagine Jesus right there with you doing that. We don't have to imagine this, do we? We don't have to imagine this. Jesus gave us a gift. He gave us a gift of the Holy Spirit. And he's with us and does all of these things for us today, right now. Because it says here, he lives in us and us in him. This is a gift that we all have and can receive through faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 8:14 through 16 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba Father. For his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm we are God's children." So this passage explains that this gift is ready to be received. You know, most gifts you need to receive, right? Someone can give you a gift, but if you never unwrap it, if you never receive it, you don't get it, do you? You ever got a gift that you never really unwrapped and you just leave it? I have, actually. And then I asked, can we re-gift that? This isn't that kind of gift. This isn't a re-gift gift, right? This is an amazing gift that through our faith in Jesus that we can receive as being a family of God, part of God. So if we are born again, we have an intimate relationship through the Holy Spirit, having the Holy Spirit living with us and in us. A relationship. So are each of you full of the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I'm hoping to see here some heads. Then we should seek out these gifts and receive these gifts that he has for each and every one of you. Because there's so many people in the church, there's so many people in the world that are, they live their lives full of fear. They live their lives unable to overcome sin in their life. And most often, the reason they are living this way is because they are not walking in the gifts of the Spirit and have not received the gifts the Spirit has for them. Whoever has the Holy Spirit living within them, whoever has placed their faith in Jesus, has the power of God living within them in the form of the Holy Spirit. You are not powerless. And this is a gift that we receive. In Psalms 118, 5 through 6, it says, "In my distress, I prayed to God, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" This freedom that we get is a gift that's, and all that's required is for you to receive it. Again, have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Are you walking in these gifts that he has for you? Let's continue. Let's look at verse 18 in John chapter 14. "No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you." Very short verse. Now, we've learned a lot already about the Holy Spirit in the last passages. In these verses, we've learned here again that he will never leave us. And I want to read again from the Amplified Bible this same verse, verse 18. It says, "I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I will come back to you." So as we reflect on these last few verses that we've been looking at, that we've read, we learn that the world can't receive him because they're not seeking him. They're not going to receive this gift because they're not seeking after it. So we learn also that the Holy Spirit lives in us and that we live in him. And then because of this, we become one. And nothing can separate us from the Holy Spirit. Nothing. The Holy Spirit will teach us. He will remind us of the Word of God as given to us in our Bibles. He's also the one that will convict us. He'll convict us of our sin. He will also guide us as we walk through this world and to live a righteous life. He will speak truth to us in our lives. He will give us discernment. Now, we all know the Holy Spirit is God, and the Holy Spirit has always been. But now he has come to live within all that have placed their faith in Jesus. It's through the Holy Spirit that we have fellowship with God, a personal connection to the Father. It's a gift. It's a gift that Jesus has asked for, and all we have to do is accept it, receive it. Let's look at verse 19 through 20. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you will also live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. If you were to look in a spiritual mirror, maybe not an actual mirror, what would you see? What would be your reflection in that mirror, if it was a spiritual mirror? If you examine yourself, what do you see when you examine yourself? Do you examine yourself and see giftings from the Holy Spirit? See attributes of the Holy Spirit? What would you see? Would you see his attributes such as we talked about? Counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener. These are characteristics of the Holy Spirit. And if he's living in you, you should see this in your life. Jesus lives in us, and through Jesus, we also live. So Jesus is teaching us who he is and who we are. You know, we are one in God. You ever thought about that? You are one in God. This gift of this relationship that we have, again, is for all that have come to faith. John 17, 21 says, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one as we are one. Verse 23, I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity, the world will know that you sent me, and that you love them as much as you love me. That's an amazing verse. So look back again, John 14. And when Jesus says, I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Jesus is the Father. We are in Jesus. Jesus is in us. And this is how we are connected to God. And this is the gift that we have through Jesus. Let's look at verse 21. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who will love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. The scripture is clear. If we will accept and obey God's word, that's our Bibles, his word, and show our love for Jesus and God, then he, the Father God, will love us through the Holy Spirit. I'll say it this way. If we as Christians, we will love our Lord Jesus, it's shown in our lives. It's shown, if we're loving Jesus, it's shown through our commitment to him and how we conduct our daily walk, our daily lives. 1 John 2, 5 through 6 says, but those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. This is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Jesus is clear. If you say you love him, you will obey his commandments, his word. Look at verse 22. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, be clear, but the other disciple with that name said to him, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? A fair question he presents. Maybe one even some of you have asked, right? Maybe have you ever asked that question? Look at that question. Why? So let's look at Jesus' response in 23 through 24 as Jesus answers this. Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Verse 24, anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. What I see here is an equation in these verses. Faith and loving Jesus equals the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which equals in our life the keeping of God's word. If we have came to faith and love Jesus, we will be indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and through that indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we will keep God's word. These are instructions by God. If we truly love Jesus, you know, it's a tough question. If a person's living a life of sin, unrepentive sin, I'm saying, do they truly love Jesus or truly know him? Because if we truly love Jesus and placed our faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit is in us and it is going to convict us of that lifestyle. If we truly love Jesus, we will honor God's word. We will keep his commandments. We will do our best. We'll desire to be pleasing to God because of the Holy Spirit in us. Let's look at verses 25 through 26. I'm telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. As you look closely at these passages, the Holy Spirit is given as Jesus also was given by the will of God, all for his glory. It is the will of God that the Holy Spirit would come and be our comforter, our encourager, our intercessor, our teacher, our equipper. It's a gift for all Christians, all that would call upon Jesus as Lord. And this is the will of the Father God, that we would not be alone. The Holy Spirit is given to us, again, not because something that we do, not because of our works, or it's the will of the Father that we would not be left alone and that we would have a helper as we walk through this world as Christians. We're not alone. The Holy Spirit will work in each of us, every single one of us, and through us, so that the purpose is the Father would be glorified. His name would be known. It's not for our glory. It's not for our own look at me. It's all to point people to Jesus. I love this part. You ready for this? The Holy Spirit will do the same work through each of you. Listen to that. The Holy Spirit will do the same work through each of you that he did through Jesus. Is that mind-blowing to think about? Well, he will do the same work through Jesus with each of you at when Jesus was here physically on the earth to glorify God and to draw people to know him. It's amazing. Think about that. Verse 27. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. I love presents. Most presents. There's some presents I don't like. Most presents I like. You know, my favorite kind of gift always is one that actually later that you can use each day. I mean, it's useful. But also when you use it, you think of the person that gifted it to you. A gift maybe that makes my life easier. You know, there's some things that make my life easier, or maybe saves time or makes my life more enjoyable. You know, it's good gifts. I think all of us would love to receive gifts that bless us, because there are some gifts, like, don't gift me a dog. That's not a blessing, right? I've seen people do that. Oh, here's a pet. No. But Jesus is telling the world here that every single person who has came to faith has a very special gift awaiting them. A very special gift. If we have admitted that we are sinners, if we know that we are in the need of a Savior, and we have turned from this life and we have placed our faith in Jesus, Jesus, the one who has paid the price for our sins, allowing himself to be crucified, resurrected 3 days later, defeating sin and death, the grave, he invites everyone in now to this resurrection, this redemption through faith. And through this, each of us become a new creation. We're anew. The old man is dead. We are a new creation in Christ. And then we are given this gift of peace through the Holy Spirit as he comes and abides in each and every one of us. The Holy Spirit brings peace. Peace to our hearts, our minds, our souls comforts us. Philippians 4:6 says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." This peace, which leads to a deep and lasting, is not of this world or from this world, but a gift to God and each of His children. This peace given through the Holy Spirit is not dependent on outward circumstances. That's amazing, isn't it? The peace of the Holy Spirit that each of you have been given is not dependent on what's going on in the world around us today. You can have peace. People are like, "I want to be happy." Well, you can have joy in your heart no matter what's going on in the world. That's only through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. If you've accepted this gift, you know also, you never, ever, ever need to fear your past. You need to never fear your future, because Jesus, He redeemed us from our past, and Jesus has already written out our future. Amen? We never have to fear anymore. So Jesus had this also, right? Jesus had this very peace that we're speaking about here living within Him. He had the Holy Spirit also. How all that works, I don't know. But He had this. And this, think about what Jesus was facing this night that He's presenting this message to the disciples and to us. He knew His crucifixion was hours away. Yet His focus there was to minister to the disciples, to minister to us. His focus was the same that each of us should have, to minister to others, to share the good news. Let's close up here and look at the last few verses, 28 through 31. "Remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really loved me, you would be happy that I'm going to the Father, who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe. I don't have much more time to talk to you, because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me, but I will do what the Father requires of me, so that the world will know that I love the Father. Come, let's be going." I love these verses. What I see is a definition from Jesus of love. He's defined love as being with the Father, of being with God, which is very powerful. I also saw that, again, Jesus knows what's going to take place, yet again we see He is not troubled. He knows that Satan was coming for Him, and He was not troubled. So why is Jesus sharing this with us through His word today, with the disciples? Jesus mentions that Satan has no power over him. That's important. Satan has no power over him. Now, we know that Jesus took our sins upon Himself in love, under His own free will, doing this to please the Father, paying each of our sin debt. This was the only way that our sins could be paid for in full. I mean, there's so many foundational truths in these passages. Now, think about what Jesus said again about Satan, because this is important. Because who, as we place our faith in Jesus, we have the same Holy Spirit in us. So then what does Jesus say about Satan? He says what? "He has no power over me." It's the same truth for each and every one of us, right? If we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ, Satan has no power over us today. If we are born again, we are inseparable from God. Jesus will never leave us. And if this is true, Satan has no claim or power on any of us. He may provoke us at times. He may speak lies to us at times. He may try to tempt us at times, or even many other evil acts. But the truth is, he has no real power over the believer, because we are children of God and the Holy Spirit lives within us. In closing, in these passages, we read a promise from Jesus that we know he will never leave us, no matter how or what takes place in our lives or the world around us. He promises the Holy Spirit as our helper. He then explains to us the Father God, the Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit are one. And through faith in Jesus, that Jesus then lives within us. And now, through Jesus living within us, we receive a gift. Again, not just the gift of the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit itself brings gifts to us. First, we've been talking about a peace. Now, this is a supernatural peace that can only come from God, no matter what is going on in the world around us. This peace will indwell in us in such a way that we do not ever need to have fear or be troubled. Also, we learn another gift that we know. The Holy Spirit is how we fulfill our personal calling that each one of us has been given by God. Because we cannot do this on our own, and we don't have to do it on our own. Jesus knew this. He gave us the Holy Spirit, our helper, to do this through us. We cannot live, each of us can't even truly live our own lives in a way that's pleasing to God without the power of the Holy Spirit.